possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the podcast, the home episodes of the host of this here podcast, greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
My name is B. Ted Smith. All right, back in action this week, up in the top square, goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
What up, boys? Just got out of a little yoga. I'm sitting in my closet recording studio, feeling lit, feeling light. Let's do it.
All right, down there in the bottom square, back as always, we got concerned emails. Hopefully he's okay. Matt, I'm the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Yeah, hey, Ted. Good to see you. Kyle's having a great day.
You're having a great day, so Kyle said we have a concerned email about Matt.
Yeah.
Well, and I can't overstate this. They sounded like Matt was being held hostage. I mean, I never, honestly, I get the emails, and I just usually send them to the podcast folder and then look at them on Tuesday when we do these. This one I read immediately.
That is true. So... You know what? Just read the email, because as soon as I got to work on Wednesday, Mike Hawk asked me as well. He was like, was Matt being held hostage last week?
Really? Like, Jesus.
Yeah. So now that you said that, I know what it is.
Okay. Let me find it.
I know what it is. Okay.
Okay. The subject is just Matt. Question. Why does Matt sound like he's using the free Wi-Fi in the very back corner of a library and trying to keep his voice down on the podcast now?
Right. So I got the same question. Somebody's like, why is Matt so quiet? Like, why were you whispering last week?
I wasn't. Was I whispering? I realized afterwards that my mic wasn't on. I plugged it in, and on Zoom, my computer mic was. And so I'm wondering if I was too far back, but that was just, I was in a different room and my mic was on, but not turned on in Zoom. And so I was seeing the levels, everything looked good. And then when I went to edit it, it was like, oh boy.
Yeah, I didn't notice it that much when we were doing it. But then Mike asked me the same thing. He was like what was going on in Matt's house? Sounded like he was hiding, like afraid to talk.
Oh, no, I mean, we were talking about Russell Wilson all week, all that. I don't know. It felt like kind of a sad cast.
If you scurred, say you scurred.
All right, Cobb, before we get into what we did last week, I just want to mention that my brother was in Austin last week. Oh, Cobb, nice. Like your haircut. Yeah, looks like you just got out of the chair.
Yeah.
That's a story in and of itself, but go ahead.
So my brother's in Austin for like a principal conference or whatever. So I knew Cobb was sick, so that's why he missed. And then the next day he was like, I'm gonna try to feel better so I can go watch baseball with your brother. And I was like, cool. So I think it's funny. Number one, and Cobb, I don't feel like Chris was talking behind your back. He was like, Cobb seems surprised that Texas baseball is this big of a deal. Keep in mind, the game they went to, they were currently number one in the country in college baseball. And it's like Texas is a lot of things, but Texas baseball is a massive, massive deal. It's like one of the blue bloods of college baseball.
Dude, well, it was the perfect storm of ignorance. Cause like, you know, people who know me know right off the bat, I'm not a huge baseball guy. I go to a lot of Mariners games, but honestly probably couldn't name a single person on the team. I just have fun. I love the stadium, the atmosphere, the food is dialed. Always a good time, lots to look at. And then like college baseball, I wasn't really sure. Like I always kind of thought people maybe went like from high school to the minor leagues to the pros, or I just didn't really know where college baseball stood in the pantheon of, you know, like levels of baseball as you rise up, like, you know, like hockey, kind of a similar thing where people get drafted young or whatever. I just wasn't sure. So I also had no idea that Texas program was even on the map. I've seen their stadium, but I clearly did not know they were number one in the country. So I rolled in and then also it was $3 to go to the game. So I was like, okay, like, tough season, you know, like there we're going to be like $3 isn't even putting me out on the cheap seats. It's just GA. But I walk in and this stadium's lit up. It's warm outside for the first time in a while. And people are in a great mood. And the stadium was like pretty much packed. I mean, we ended up standing in like a beer garden watching the game. And so, yeah, don't worry. Chris wasn't talking shit. I told him to his face. I was like, I'm blown away that there's anyone here. And he was like, you thought no one would be here? I was like, yeah, dude. I thought it was gonna be like the three of us, you know, sitting in a bleacher watching like some high school kids hit a ball around, dude. I don't know. And he was thriving, man. Chris was in good spirits. It was fun to see him.
Right. So, right. Texas, there's like Texas, LSU, like Rice, Miami. I mean, there's like blue bloods, and Texas is definitely one of them for college baseball. I mean, in college baseball, here's the deal. If you get drafted, you can go play in the minor leagues. But if you go to a 4-year college, you have to stay 3 years if you take a scholarship. So like Barry Bonds, for instance, like I want to say he played at Arizona State. So like, it's a kind of give and take. Like some of the good players go straight to the minors, but a lot of them will go play college. If you play in JUCOs and junior colleges, you don't have to stay 3 years. So that's why like in Florida and Texas and Southern California, some of the JUCOs are unbelievable because they just have studs that are just waiting to get drafted the next year.
Dude, that's awesome. I also forgot your brother threw down the gauntlet. So okay, I'm happy you brought this up because I totally blanked on it, but I made a note in my phone. So Chris is like, all right, so Ted is always talking about how he knows all these college mascots and whatnot. And I'm like, dude, he does. I was like, it's honestly sickening. Like, I'm good with random high schools. Ted knows some exotic colleges. Like, I didn't even know the name of University of Texas's bowl, which I would guess you probably do. I don't know off the top of my head. Do you know it or not?
Yeah, it's Bevo.
So don't worry. That's not the trivia question. So the trivia question, do you want it? Do you want an at bat right now? Or do we want to move on? Like believing that you know a lot of college mascots, because this is tough. This is obscure.
Let's get it. I will say for the record, Texas was number one, but they lost that night to Texas State.
Yeah, I know. In Texas State, honestly, we watched, you know, I was only there for probably half the game. We watched like five homers right in front of us, maybe three. It was crazy though. They were cracking that bat. Well, and it was also, never Texas when I looked over.
And in college, too. I mean, you have amazing baseball athletes that are still using aluminum bats. So, I mean, they can fight off a pitch and go yard.
Oh, I didn't realize there. Dude, that makes so much sense. Because I felt like they were going yard often. Often. Oh, yeah. Like, I was, oh, dude. Oh, my God. Okay, that makes so much more sense. I was like, this seems crazy how many home runs they're hitting. I was like, do I just not know anything about baseball? Or is this, okay. Yeah, I mean, we watched a bunch of guys almost go yard too. Like everyone's hitting the warning track and stuff. And I was like, Jesus.
Yeah, the sound of college baseball is ting. like that hitting off that aluminum bat. I'm saying they go yard all the time. And then they're doing bat flips. Like, college baseball is actually pretty fun.
The sound of college baseball is ting. That's such a Ted comment. I love it. All right. You ready for your at bat?
Hit me.
Okay. So Texas, University of Texas, obviously the Longhorns, burnt orange. What is the Texas State mascot, the team they lost to that night? Texas State mascot. Chris believed you would not get this. And he was like, ask him this on the cast because he wanted to embarrass you publicly. That's between you guys, though, at Christmas.
God, he's not wrong, because Texas A&M is the Aggies.
So correct.
Texas State can't also be the Aggies. Man, that is a good question.
Honestly, most people don't even know Texas State exists, first of all. Like, this is an obscure mascot.
I don't know, but I'll go with armadillos.
Dude, so that's actually the city mascot for the city of Austin. And so a lot of things here are named the armadillos. So Texas State is the Bobcats.
Oh, shit. I fucking knew that. Sorry, man.
Honestly, I just love, so people don't know this about you, Ted, but Ted will stay up like late at night watching like classic college games and stuff like that and get up early in the morning to do it. I feel like this is going to be eating at Ted for a good 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, I'd ask Brett, but Brett will know right away. He'll be like, oh, yeah, man, it's the Bobcats.
Dude, what's been living in my mind rent-free ever since you said it?
By the way, for the record, a couple years ago, Cobb, me and you over Labor Day weekend were at a cabin. And it was like a Saturday, and I was like, hey, man, I want to watch college football. And you're like, you know what, let's sit here and watch this. And you were like, I don't even know Texas State. And I was like, I'm pretty sure we watched their first Division I football game as a program.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I'd never heard of them. Oh, dang. Now I forgot what I was going to say. What was I saying?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's gone.
Bobcat.
Bobcats.
Yeah. Dude, the Bobcats. God.
I do think it's amazing you guys went. Texas actually lost. That's why I text you that night. Like, I think my brother's the jinx. Oh, also, I got up early Saturday, Friday night, which is rare for me. I didn't do a single thing. Like, came home, watched a couple episodes of Drive to Survive, like, was in bed at like 10:30. So Saturday morning, I'm getting up to go watch Ireland versus England in rugby. But I get up and like, I got time to kill. I'm just kind of hanging out. So I call my brother. He doesn't answer. And then he calls back and he's like, it's only like 7:30, 8 o'clock here on Saturday. He's like, everything okay? I'm like, yeah. I'm just up watching sports. He's like, oh, all right. Seemed weird you're calling me this early. I was like, yeah. And then he's like, what are you watching? I'm like, rugby. He's like, all right, we're watching rugby now. It's like, I don't know. It's a
Chris, I'm into exotic sports. Okay.
I will say, watching rugby was pretty fun. Shocking. I enjoyed it. Might have to start getting into this. I got to go to a Seawolves game. Everybody's always talking about that.
Yeah, man. I have a lot of respect for the sport of rugby because I feel like you need good cardio and you need a lot of strength. And those are two really tough things to have on your body at the same time. Like, it's tough to be powerful and, you know, like able to run miles and miles.
Oh, yeah. Those guys' fitness level is unreal, man. I mean, it's a tough sport.
They're strong.
They are strong. They're big, but Cobb's right. I mean, they're running a ton. Plus, you got to be able to use your feet and everything. I mean, I was impressed. Uh-huh. I was like, this is pretty fun. Plus, I didn't realize, like, I was watching it with our buddy who's Irish. Like I kind of know about some of the Irish and English stuff, but, like, some of the stories he was telling me, I was like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, this is unbelievable. Like, the hell with them.
400 years of oppression, man. F them.
Yeah,
F the queen.
Somehow I threw in 800 years. Somebody was like, are you sure it's 800 years? I was like, it's 800 years of oppression. 400.
Dude, what's going on with your boy Abramovich? Is he out?
Oh, the owner of Chelsea?
Yeah, I don't want to derail this whole thing. I just am genuinely curious.
Yeah, I mean, he's a Russian oligarch, so he can't own Chelsea right now. I mean, they're in a world of hurt, which, as an Arsenal fan, good. Fuck him. Like, Chelsea was nothing before he showed up and started splashing cash anyhow. So it's like, oh, Chelsea, you might actually have to build a program now.
All right. So we're feeling good about it. I like that.
Yeah, I got a question for you. Why do we only use oligarchy in Russians? Like, why don't we call our billionaires
oligarchs?
Oligarchs.
Well, Ted, how much time do you have? I feel like every once in a while you'll give me one of these things where I'm like, God, I could write you a book on this. Okay. The short, God, can I do this in under a minute and a half? Yeah, I'll try. Is that cool?
All right.
Okay. So oligarchs not to say one is more fair than the other, but our billionaires obviously came up under capitalism, which in big air quotes is a fair system, right? The free market, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously there's backdoor deals and, you know, whatever, there's currying favor with government, et cetera. But the oligarchs, they rose to prominence very quickly because as the Soviet Union fell, collapsed really in 1987 to 89, most of the assets were state owned. That means copper mines and iron mines, steel plants, oil production facilities, shipping, manufacturing, everything was owned by the state. All of a sudden, that was all up for grabs because the state didn't exist. And so at that point, it became sort of a kleptocracy where anybody who could get their hands on this stuff did. And that means that the people who were near the centers of power, i.e., you know, high level officials and friends of high level officials in the government, all of a sudden started it was basically a free for all. So there, you know, people own diamond mines and literal gold mines, and huge tracts of forest because they were in the right place at the right time. And so, you know, an oligarch is somebody who went from being a random low-level government official to somebody like Abramovich and owning, you know, huge oil deposits and or the ability to, you know, own huge railroads that ship all this stuff. I mean, you're talking about state-owned monopolies. I mean, it's almost impossible to compete against a railroad. The fixed asset cost is massive, or a steel production facility or concrete manufacturing. I mean, we're talking infrastructure level stuff. And so the reason people have a strong distaste in their mouth because the oligarchs is because these guys didn't earn it in any sense of the word. They were given it by, you know, in shady backdoor deals. Some of this stuff has happened in China too. And so because of that, you know, they weren't given small fortunes. I mean, these are industries that generate hundreds of millions of dollars a year for the person who owns them, similar to those industries that were big in the US in the Gilded Age. So that's why we say oligarchs. There's probably some more technical definition, right, but that's my understanding.
All right. Well, that makes more sense. I was just like, I don't know, I just kept seeing it. I was like, we have super rich billionaires. What's the difference?
Yeah. And the difference is, you know, Jeff Bezos tries to give us good prices, not to really defend him. And if you own all the, you know, whatever cobalt mines in Russia, you can charge whatever the hell you want.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, right. Different products you're pushing out there on people.
Yeah, and different incentives, you know, like these people were granted monopolies, basically.
All right. First of all, Cobb, I had one this weekend. What's it? Topo Chico?
Yeah.
That is a superior seltzer. I haven't even had their hard ones yet. I'm just like, I'm looking over at an empty glass bottle. I was like, this thing is delicious.
Yeah, especially when it's hot out. It's basically like, how many bubbles can you cram into one bubbly water, you know?
Yeah. And like with that green bottle, it feels kind of gangster, like cruising around in a car. And I was like, no, we can drink this. It's just water. It just feels weird holding a glass bottle and drinking in a car.
Dude, and tangential to that, you know, this is probably not going to be something that's comforting to the listeners, but obviously, when I was younger, I've talked about it on here a lot, but I was a valet, one of the best jobs I had at Carillon Point over in Kirkland. And you would be shocked on a Friday night, the number of people who drink while driving. Like, I would say one in three cars would pull up with cold cocktails in the cup holders. It's wild out there, for real.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I think two is like, I mean, I'm always shocked too. Like, how should I phrase this? Like, I don't know. I feel like people that live outside the city, it's just, it happens way too often. Like, I got in somebody's car and they're like, just took away the bottles. And I was like, oh man, that's not a good look. That's your passenger floor. Like, why is there empty beer bottles down here? Like, I know you didn't go camping.
Oh,
Jesus. Do we know this person? You don't have to say their name, but.
No.
It's like water bottles.
But... Good.
No, empty water bottles are one thing, but I was just like, dude, for real?
Yeah.
Well, and I was just like, ah, Jesus, man. All right.
Like, also, just don't leave them all right there when for when you get pulled over, you know? Like, that's even worse, in my opinion. Well, I guess the first one's worse, but the second one's bad also.
Yeah, it's just, I'm just always amazed, but yeah, don't do it. Trust me, it's not worth it.
Agreed.
All right, Cobb, you missed last week. Matt and I obviously took some time to talk about Russell Wilson. What, any thoughts? Like, here's the thing that's pissing me off now, are people are like, why should we love Russell so much? Like, you know, and bringing up other athletes that left the city. It's like, well, he did win a Super Bowl for you. I feel like that's a decent reason to have respect for the guy when he leaves.
Dude, the thing that's going to piss you off is me. I feel all like right. I have all the wrong opinions for you.
Go ahead.
But, you know, it wouldn't be a cast if we didn't have some controversy. So, oh man. Okay. How much do we want to say here? I know way more than I should know about Russell Wilson. Let's see. Okay. I'm friends with some people who have dealt with him in personal context often. And every story I hear has not been the most positive person to person wise. I think he's had some interactions that left some sour taste in people's mouth. That alone, not enough reason to not like the guy. And I don't not like him. I'm pretty neutral, but so I was just like, okay. And then you see some of those, some of that footage of, you know, like he'll throw a long bomb, get a touchdown and goes in and all the receivers are high-fiving each other and nobody, you know, even looks his direction. So I don't think he was a favorite in the locker room, which still, you know, not enough reason to not like the guy. The main thing for me is everything I had heard. I don't know very much about the Seahawks ever, which is why I probably piss off Seahawks fans all the time. But I'll give my 2 cents anyway. Everything I had heard was that we were either going to keep Pete Carroll or we were going to keep Russell Wilson. I've been a Pete Carroll guy since day one. Love Pete Carroll, fountain of youth, USC. I don't know what he found down there. I don't know what he was into, but we can all make some assumptions. That guy is still spry and young. Matt's laughing right now because he knows the truth.
No,
Matt's in California and he knows the truth. But so I've always been pro Pete Carroll. You know, when he came here, I was hyped. I feel like he could build a program. One thing I like about him is he gets value. He scouts way down the scouting report and he'll find guys, diamonds in the rough, that he can nurse back to health. It was like that one receiver who ate his way out of the league. So I like Russell Wilson. I'm fine with him, but you know, he's done his thing and he's fairly expensive now, kind of a diva. And I'm just ready for something new, but I wish the guy no ill will. Phenomenal athlete. I mean, could have gone pro in 2 sports, way better than anybody I've ever met at sports and doing his thing. But he's a PR machine. Something about him seems a little fake to me. And I don't know, man, I never really bought it. So there you go. Fight me.
I would also say too, I think I say this all the time, like two things can be true, right? It's like, I don't know. It's like you can love somebody and still have issues with them.
Yeah.
Right? Like I can have issues with this country and still say I think it's the best country on the face of the earth. Right? Like
that's my exact position. Yeah.
Both things can be true. So I think there is some stuff with Russell that was kind of fake. I also think he did great things for the city. Like I think the Children's Hospital thing, which he already did today in Denver. Like I think that stuff's good. I think some of it was an act. I think some of it was probably his actual personality. I will say this, though. I'd rather have Russell Wilson than have Pete Carroll around. I love Pete Carroll. I love his
Wow. Energy.
But he's a defensive-minded coach, and he's the oldest coach in the league. Like, I don't feel good at a rebuild. Again, like I said last week, hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
Ted, you more than all people should know this. Defense wins championships. You know, you say he's a defensive guy. It's like what's it? Strategy wins battles, but logistics win wars. I want to win wars. I don't want to win battles.
I mean, defense does win titles, but let's look at what's going on. Like, I mean, you think the Rams, like Sean McVay isn't a defensive-minded coach. They were playing the Bengals. Their coach is an offensive guy. A lot of people think the Chiefs have the best quarterback in the league. Andy Reid's always been pro offense. Like, there's just not many of these old school, like, buckle down defensive dudes left. It's him, Belichick, and probably Rivera over in Washington with the Commanders.
Am I, you know, literally 1,000 times what I know about the NFL. Am I wrong that the Bengals had a really good defense though? Weren't they like one of the top defenses, or was that the Bills? Or both?
The Bengals defense was which was better than the Bills. They both did, but like, there's just not a lot of defensive-minded coach. I just don't know that coach works anymore. You know what I mean? It's kind of like the yelling, screaming guy. Like, you don't really see that in football as much anymore. You know, you're as hype guys. There's this or that. Like that old school coach has kind of left the building. That's what worries me about Pete Carroll. Like, all right, well, we don't have Legion of Boom. Like, what are we going to do? Now, the Russell stuff, I'm like, that's what I'm saying. I think both things can be true. But I also think Russell Wilson will always have an advantage in Seattle, unlike, say, like Gary Payton or like a Sean Kemp, because he actually won a title. That goes a long, long way.
Would have won two if he didn't throw that pass. But
oh, dude, I watched Outside the Line Saturday morning. They had a whole segment on like what changed in that pass. And it's like, right, the Seahawks legit might they win two. They might win three or four.
Yeah.
Like the 30 for 30 on this, I think Matt, you said it last week, it's gonna be unbelievable. Because it's like, you know, those defensive players have been waiting to drop a dime.
Michael Bennett's gonna have some quotes.
Bennett's got quotes, you know. Sherm's ready. Who knows if Bobby Wagner's gonna say now? Like,
dude, you're right. They're waiting. Well, dude, so you know, the only thing I would say is, so you know, Pete Carroll, you know, he did his thing at USC, and I feel like he transitioned. You know, the first time he was in the NFL, obviously with the Giants, I think, you know, he couldn't make the transition. That's fine. But like, you know, he was successful at USC and Pats. Yeah. And then, but did he coach the Pats and the Giants or no?
In the Jets.
Oh, the Jets. Okay. But yeah. And then, so he made that he changed his game. So I feel like he's malleable. I feel like he can figure something out. But what I was trying to think of is, what was that coach you were talking about? You were talking about like the old school coach who would like go off on people. Who was that dude who he was a basketball coach? It was like Bobby. Thank you. Bobby Knight, dude, the chair thrower. God, that guy was an animal. I could watch his clip. I don't agree with how he lived his life, but I could watch his clips all day. They're so goddamn entertaining. Sorry, well, Matt.
And look at Pete Carroll, right? When he was at SC, everything changes after the greatest college football game. And Vince Young from Texas goes in and scores. That program's never the same. Pete ends up leaving. I don't think Pete Carroll or the Seahawks have ever been the same since that interception. And I don't know if he's ever going to right the ship.
God, you might be right, man. I hate to say it, but you might be right. I believe in Pete. I'd wear a t-shirt that says that, but it's tough to say. Dark times.
Let's see. You guys going to fill out a bracket this year, by the way?
Are you talking about for the NCAA tournament?
Yeah.
No.
You know, last year my bracket did pretty well. I may, but to be honest with you, I keep seeing college games on TVs as I pass bars, and I thought we were already in March Madness because it's like mid-March.
It starts Thursday.
Okay.
So I'm watching the play-in game, and then the tournament starts Thursday morning at 9 a.m.
Here's my question for you. Who you got to win it all?
I mean, I hate to say it, because of Gonzaga High School. But Gonzaga, again, last year I thought, like, they need to win this goddamn national title. Like, go into the Final Four and lose the champ. Like, it's not going to cut it. Like, Gonzaga needs to win. But, like, Duke's in their bracket. Like, there's a few other teams. But I'm like, I've seen Kansas could sneak in there. But in theory, Gonzaga should win.
Wow. What's Zaga ranked?
One.
So Duke's number two in that bracket?
Yeah, Duke's the second seed in their bracket.
Wow. Dude, I mean, God, I would love to see Zaga win it. I mean, I really wanted them to win it when they were like the under, what's that called? The Cinderella story, you know, with the guy with the mustache.
Oh, remember that guy? Yeah.
Mark Morrison?
tall, skinny white dude. Adam Morrison. Thank you. Yeah. Cool dude. A lot of flow. Feel like that guy would be cool in real life. You can just tell by the way people walk sometimes. You know what I mean?
My that guy's cool. Is, I just like, usually I get annoyed with everybody's brackets, but this year I say, bring them on. Fuck Wardle. Let's see those brackets.
That's awesome.
All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back and do some emails. All right. Thank you to our sponsors. I did want to mention real quick before we get into emails here that this weekend I was hanging out. Hey, he's a friend of mine, but I met him first through Cobb and a bunch of other people. We had a great time. And then my buddy that I was with ended up going out with other friends of mine that he knows now. Like, there's something really cool about connecting friends, whether you get to hang out with that friend of your own or like my buddy going out. I was like, dude, I've already been drinking all day. I don't need to go out. He texts me at 3 a.m. like, this guy's awesome. I was like, I told you. So like, I don't know. Like, it's just different, but I'm always like, yeah, like it's nice when you can send a friend in with like your other friends. Like, they'll be fine.
Yeah. He's an operator. He'll be fine.
Right. All right, Kyle, let's read some of these emails.
All right. We got a little stack to grind through. Okay. So the end of that email we were reading before. So the, why does Matt sound like he's using the free Wi-Fi? Also heard y'all's boy, Justin, give Cobb's popcorn a shout out on 710 ESPN the other day, the greatest popcorn in all the land,
all the land.
LARP on listener since day one, Dylan. Dude, Dylan, that's rad, man. I've been like, you know, really close with Justin for 15 years now. And I didn't know that, but I'm going to screenshot your email and send it to him. Pumped up, man. Thanks for letting me know. In fact, let me screenshot that guy right now.
Yeah, Barnsey. I mean, we love Justin. Justin's one of my very, very good friends.
Yeah. Also, that guy is, believe it or not, even cooler off air. Like, Ted, equally cool. Rad on air, rad off. Justin, even cooler off air.
Yeah. I think I might see him at some... he's in Arizona. Like, I thought I might see him this weekend. Maybe not.
No subject. Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Small correction. Bend is the dead center of Oregon. Think Ellensburg of Oregon. It's desertish as it's the east side of the Cascades. Not anything Cali related other than its latitude is like 3 degrees south of us. I used to date a stripper from there. Hot versus crazy scale was real. If you like Bend, I recommend going to Missoula, especially in the fall. The bar crawl possibilities are fantastic in the college town. Trashy scene girls steal my heart every time. Black eyeliner and a V-cut shirt are definitely a common denominator. I had a roommate who used to give me S about what my type was, so we made a spreadsheet, and boy, it was an adventure. Came out that my type was freshly 21, 5'2", 130 pounds, with blonde hair, brown eyes, tan from genetics or 10 minutes under a toasting lamp, double D's, and has an ash, usually two boogiga. Also, at what point do you call this cast just the podcast again? Because y'all live in 3 different states. And yes, I have been listening to the cast religiously since episode 87 back in 2015, back when episodes dropped on Wednesdays or Thursdays or any day ending in a Y. I bought stock when it launched on episode 92-ish. So yeah, I got 7 years in, but y'all are on year 9. I even sat in on the cast back in 2018 during Cobb's first escape to the Lone Star State. Scott, the friendly IT guy. Wow. Bam. Wow. That's a good email.
Damn.
Do we keep calling them home episodes? I mean, nobody even lives here anymore except me.
Man. Ted, what's your response to that email? Or boys, you got to, I mean, that's phenomenal.
Wow. That's pretty impressive since 87. yeah, I mean, he's right. I guess we should stop calling them. I mean, are they just all going to be the home episodes or should just the podcast again?
I mean, I guess we just go back to the podcast episode something. I don't remember where the hell we left off. That was 78 episodes ago.
What was that? March of 2019?
2020?
No, or 2020. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Somewhere in there, or February probably would have been, I don't know, somewhere in there. But yeah, I'd have to look at the number we left that off on. But yeah, we could switch it back now.
Boys, I feel like the defining factor is this. It doesn't have anything to do with Matt. It doesn't have anything to do with me. And honestly, it doesn't have that much to do with Ted. But at one point, we used to go into a studio at, do you guys say the name of the, Intercom, and do these podcasts?
Odyssey.
But, Odyssey, I'm sorry. When the pandemic started, we became personas non gratis. So I think until they allow us back through those doors up to that studio, I feel like we're on home episodes. What do you guys think? That's just my two cents.
I mean, I think we're on home episodes, but even when I could probably bring you guys back in now, but nobody lives here.
Oh, we could go back in now if we were there.
Oh,
I think so. I'd have to check. Cause I mean, the indoor mask mandate ended.
Exactly.
Like, Saturday was very confusing. I went to a few different bars and I was like, I don't have to wear it. They're like, no, but everybody else was. It's like, all right, I guess I'll put it on. Like, I'm so confused. What are we doing?
Wow. Okay.
Dude, here's how I feel like we can get an end date on this. How about, Ted, if it's not like politically unfavorable, whatever, obviously don't let this affect your job, but just to ask if you can. And if they say yes, then I feel like we are back on the podcast. And if they say no, I feel like we're still outcasts and we're on home episodes. What do you guys feel about that logic? Is that insane? Is that insane?
I mean, I feel like unless we're in a studio, they're just home episodes because everybody's in a separate home. I mean, I'm literally sitting in my home.
It's true. Me too. I'm sitting in my closet.
Yeah.
Matt's getting delivered fruity beverages.
Yeah.
Matt always looks like Matt has these louvered windows in the room he does, and he always looks like he's in Hawaii.
He does. I also, Matt, like the fat guy in me, I'm like, what is that, a drink from Taco Bell?
Oh, no, this is Starbucks, one of their, like, lemonade iced teas.
Oh, all right. I saw the clear plastic cup with, like, a unidentified colored beverage. I was like, I bet that's something crazy from Taco Bell.
Ted, no.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I do love that Baja Blast, though.
Ted, have you ever felt this way? Like, I feel like every time we jump on here, Matt's life looks cooler than both of ours combined.
Well, sure. He's not in a closet or in a small one-bedroom apartment. He's in a house in Palm Springs. Like, he's going to win this every time.
I mean, he always has cool backgrounds where he's like, oh, I'm in Seattle, but I'm in the boathouse. Or like whatever, like something cool. And I feel like you and I are like just scratching out a living in like closets, or like I was like under those cushions for a while in Park City or whatever. Like, I don't know, man. It just somehow his backgrounds always come together and ours always look like trash.
Bob's building forts.
Yeah.
I just think it's funny this summer when I do one from the boathouse. Like, yeah, man, I'm just over at your dad's house now. Like, you're not here. I'm staying here 3 nights a week.
I brought my laptop
live from the boathouse. Dude, that'd be awesome.
The other part of that email, I am going to Montana this summer, so maybe I'll have to pop into Missoula. I don't know where I'm at exactly.
Dude, I'll tell you this, Ted, we've always talked about your ideal girl. Just reading Scott's the common denominator line, I feel like this guy knows what he's talking about. Like, he does not email regularly. He's been listening for 7 years. Like, he took his time on this one. This dude knows what's up. If he says jump, you say how high. Like, if he's saying Missoula, I feel like you go to Missoula. This is just an inkling, you know, like one of those like instinct things, but I feel like he knows what's up.
Oh, trust me. I love those country girls. That's why everybody come tailgate with me June 4th. Luke Combs descends on Seattle, and I'm going to fucking be there. Like, I want to go to that show, but I'm at least tailgating.
Oh, wow. What day is that?
It's a Saturday. I mean, Cobb is going to be it has to be as good as Chesney was.
That was unreal. That was honestly unreal.
Yeah.
We don't need to beat it into the ground, but Jesus. All right.
I think I told that story this weekend, and even Rowan was like, I don't know if I've heard that one. I was like, oh, get down.
Dude. Yeah. And this guy used to date a stripper, like on the hot, and he's talking about hot versus crazy scale. He's one of us, man. Like, I'm honestly making a mental flag on Missoula just in general. And I have some other Missoula thoughts, but I'm not going to share them. Okay. Don't laugh, boys. I just, you know, I'm in hostile territory. All the land. Cobb topic. A typical turn on that doesn't work for me. Giant, oversized, bolted on fake breasts or butts. I love me a big boob, but give me natural TNAs all day. Cheers.
I don't know. Like, it's easy to say I prefer natural boobs, but fake boobs are awesome too. Like, I'm not going to say I'm against any boobs. That's the ticket I'm running on. My name's Ted Smith, and I stand for boobs. All real, boobs. Fake, whatever.
Yeah, you want them, we got them. I've always felt like if they fit in my mouth, they're real, you know, but that's neither here nor there. Okay, Cobb topic. In terms of basically, like, what's something that everyone else considers a turn on that you just don't? Isaac said, I don't understand the feet people. I don't want to see any toes. I'll fix with a pair of sexy ankles and boots, though. Cheers, Isaac. Kind of went the other way on that one.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, some people are really into feet. Like, good on them. Be into whatever you're into. I don't know. I mean, somehow we started talking about, like, body parts today on the men's room. Like, look, if I'm with a girl and she puts her feet on me, fine. But, like, the minute we're not together, like, keep your feet away from me.
Wow. Strong words. There's people who would pay for that, Ted.
Oh, I know. And foot fetish is a massive one, man. It's always showing up. I'm like, yeah, all right, cool. I don't know. I mean, you can pretty much count. You can figure out what I click on in porn tabs. All right. I hate it, too, when you got to go through, like, half a foot fetish videos. You just want to see the girl naked. Like, all right. Can we skip ahead to the part that we want to see?
Ted, at this point, do they have a Tacoma tab on Pornhub? Because I feel like that's all you.
It's called Tan Blonde. I can guarantee you it's in my search history right now.
That's awesome. Yeah. Also, weirdly, we were talking about Scott's email and just, like, just trust this guy. You mentioned my haircut earlier. So it's down to, like, a skin cut on it's called a skin fade, I guess. It's like from a zero up. That literally only happened because I walked in and the guy seemed really cool. Like, he was dressed all dialed and stuff. I was like, dang, this guy knows what he's talking about. He goes, and I told him, like, you know, just a two on the sides. And he's like, you should get a skin fade. And I was like, I should get a skin fade. I walked out of there and I looked bald. If I put a hat on, I was like, this looks awful. So anyway, it's starting to grow out now, but don't trust everyone I say to trust. That's my point. All right. Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Everyone asks, what if we ran it? What if we threw it to the wide open Marshawn running up the sideline? Was he technically an ineligible receiver? And I'm an idiot. The guy had two receptions that game. Scott, the friendly IT guy, AKA stockholder, still waiting on a market report.
Market reports only happen in studio. Yeah, last week we were just talking about that play in the end zone and how much it changed. And I was like, I think if Golden Tate's on the team, he's not getting bumped off that easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah, he even sent an image of the play with a line for Marshawn's path. God, yeah. Tough to say. Okay, that one we did. To the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Oh, God, this is the one. I've had a question weighing heavy on my mind for the past few casts. Matt? Are you okay? In recent podcasts, you sound like you're trying to talk extra quietly, almost at a whisper level. Is someone holding you hostage in a closet under the stairs? Is your new secret job being a librarian? Blink twice if you need rescue. But seriously, listener since day one, first time emailer, love you guys, and I'm so happy you're still casting, even though you're in three different states. Cheers, Carly.
That's impressive. She's never emailed in.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I'm fine. There's high ceilings in here and it gets really echoey when I get loud. And so everywhere in the desert has high ceilings because it gets so damn hot. It's all like single story mostly and like high ceilings. So to deal with the heat. And yeah, I just had heard myself on some recordings echoing away. And was like, if I just talk quieter and hold the mic closer, you know, that'll work too.
All right, Matt, I'm going to bust your balls here. But is this the first time you've ever been accused of being too quiet?
Absolutely. 100%. I'm stunned.
Oh, that's good.
never anybody be like, you know what I hate about Matt? That dude's fucking quiet.
Yeah, church mouse.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm a little bit floored. Last week, like I said, when I was editing, I was like, oh, damn, that one was on me. That was my bad. Because, yeah, usually, like, I sit back away from my computer with a microphone in my hand and thinking that I'm like, it's good. And yeah, that wasn't. But usually, yeah, it's just it gets echoey in the high ceilings of the desert.
But Matt, you got to answer the people's question. What did Ted do to you? Are you okay?
What did Ted do to me? He told me he was going to come down here, and then he didn't.
See, Chris showed up. Chris Smith shows up.
Yeah, all right, I'm leaving that one alone.
But Matt, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm great. I work 6 days a week. Even if you came down to it, I'd feel like a jerk. I'd be like, well, have fun, I gotta go.
Also, nice, Ted, good line. Chris is walking his dog right now, like, damn, smooth. That's it for emails.
All right, well, we got to do this segment because I don't go to visit him. Let's see what's battening. Hang on, did we forget one?
Oh yeah, we did. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay, my bad. I just I closed it and I had that YouTube clip open. So, all right, Ted, my question for you is, so when you're out, right, like, you know, occasionally around Seattle, you'll see people who listen to the Men's Room or this, and they'll want to say, hey, real quick. And obviously, you know, they've heard you taking shots on the air and stuff like that. And so I feel like people's natural inclination is like, I want to have a drink with Ted. Am I wrong? Yeah. Okay. So my question is, what is the drink people buy you the most when they see you in a bar and they're just like, hey, let me get you a drink? Or if they show up with a drink, what do they usually grab you?
Oh, probably most people go, can I buy you a beer or can I buy you a shot? And I'll go, all right, what are you drinking? And they're like, it's up to you. Like, if anybody ever says it's up to you, I'll buy you whatever you want. Usually I'll just go, all right, give me a shot of Jameson.
Okay, nice. Well, I kind of assumed people were just like, you know, bringing a random drink up to you. So I get my question is, or no, I was going to say that's all about to change. I think you heard about this a little bit, but one of our emailers sent in a YouTube video. Apparently they're releasing Old Bay flavored vodka, which I feel like, I mean, that you were talking about such a small, specific sector of the population that loves and lives and dies by Old Bay, like specifically out. What's that beach called that you go to? Not Dewey Ocean Beach. City. Well, yeah, Ocean City, Maryland.
I went to Dewey. Dewey's fun, too. That's up in Delaware. It's only like 25 minutes, half an hour up the road from Ocean City. But trust me, that Old Bay vodka, like the day it came out, like I follow Old Bay on all my socials. I was like, oh, man, look at this. And Pete, in Old Bay, like, if you're from Maryland, everybody swears by Old Bay, but sometimes it catches heat. Like, people don't like it. It has one of the highest, like, loyalty, like, things ever. Like, that brand is, like, that strong. And I'm not just, like, saying, oh, the brand is strong. Like we're psychos about it.
Yeah, honestly, in that movie, they should have been, like, crab cakes, football, and Old Bay seasoning. Yeah. Wait, so, Ted, did, like, 50 people text you when it came out, or was no one aware?
Oh, 100%. Like, I saw it on Instagram, and then as soon as I got to work, there was like four emails, and then like I was like texting with a couple buddies back home. I was like, we gotta try it. I mean, look, it'll be a little spicy, but it seems like it worked perfect in a Bloody Mary.
Yeah, actually it does.
Bacon vodka was a similar thing. Like, what, I tried a shot of it and someone was like, what are you doing? That's like just for Bloody Marys.
Yeah, I'm with you. That bacon vodka was very good for Bloody Marys. I don't know that I'd sit around drinking it, but you got to keep in mind, there's people in my family that salt the rims of their beer with Old Bay.
Like, Jesus.
It's like a margarita.
That's insane. That's insane. You say a lot of crazy ass on this cast. That's insane. People salt the rims of their beers with Old Bay.
Yes. And like, you go to bars, they have like an Old Bay container and they'll Old Bay the rim and then put in a fucking National Bohemian, like a Natty Bow, like a terrible beer. Like, Matt, you remember, you probably had Natty Bow when you lived in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
I like Maryland. I'm a Fear of the Turtle guy, but you people are out of your minds. Salt, that's insane. That's insane.
You're out of your mind.
All right, let's see what's battening.
Hey, guys.
What's good? What's mad?
Whoa.
Before we get to what's battening,
hey, guys.
What's good? What's mad?
Whoa.
Check out what's battening.
Hey,
hey,
what's good? What's mad?
Whoa. Before we get to what's battening,
hey,
what's good? What's mad?
Whoa.
Check out what's battening.
God damn, I forgot how funny Cobb is. I just remember I missed how good looking you were last week, and it's like, damn, dude, you crack me up. Complete package over there. Most people just hear your voice, though. They probably all know that. They're like, yeah, I'm just sitting here drooling every time. Like, man, he's so handsome, and he loves getting complimented on things.
That's his favorite.
Yeah.
So yeah, this weekend was a lot of fun. I drove out Saturday with Tyler, my girlfriend, to Brea, which is out by Anaheim, for the second week in a row, right? Because I went out there to see Ghost 2 weeks ago, and then we drove back to see Tim Dillon, who I would say he's my favorite comedian these days. He's been killing it. For a while, I found him a few years back on his podcast, and when he was on the History Hyenas, and he does a lot of funny things that he says, and you know, interesting takes on the world, and helped me feel like I was staying sane and laughing through the pandemic, and that was great. So it was awesome to see him in person. I was at the Brea Improv. He's playing like theaters now, so it was kind of cool to get to see him in a club, like. You know, we're halfway back, a little bit off to the side, and it's like, not the best seat in the house because it's like first come, first serve. And then I was like, but this would be like one of the best seats in his usual gigs because he's mostly going to towns and playing theaters. But he was in L.A., so Bray was just a drive, and he's doing club shows all weekend and very funny set. I think it was he played the Paramount or the Moore last time he was in town. I think it was the Paramount though. When he came through Seattle a couple months ago. So it's the same material. If you saw him then, if not, he'll have it out on a special on YouTube in a few months. So it's kind of like one of his last shows of the tour that he's getting ready to film a special for. And, we had a lot of fun, listened to Ghost on the way out there, and yeah, new albums, Wild. It's a crazy turn in the Ghost world, but it was fun. So yeah, we had a great time, and then I didn't do anything on Sunday, boys. Like, I haven't had a day that like nothing filled since probably like the day after Christmas, you know, or something like that. But I don't know, I've just been busy down here, you know, days fill up, I work a lot, and yeah, we just laid around tough. It was cool, watched a little bit of Drive to Survive, and you know, I'm excited that F1 will be back this week, and you know, it was a weird day on Sunday because we tried to watch golf at the Players, but it was a weather delay. They finished on Monday down. Yeah, so but it was still fun, you know, just laying around all day on a Sunday is something that, like I said, I haven't done in a long time because usually that's when I go golf. It was great to see Tim Dillon. I'm a little self-conscious about my volume levels. I'm wondering if it was because I changed where I work. Like, you guys know, I'm all day in that gym. I'm trying to be a little bit quieter, right, than usual. I'm still the loudest fucking guy in there, for the record. But
I think part of it, too, was last week, I don't know, you just started out low. Then it was just me and you. So there was no, like, third voice to bounce it off of.
Yeah.
And then it didn't really dawn on me until I got to work. And Mike was like, dude, why was he so quiet? And I was like, he was quiet.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a good call. I'm 8 episodes in on Drive to Survive. I kind of forgot that's coming back on Sunday morning, which,
yeah,
God, I am such a psycho. Like, I don't need to get up and watch sports. I'm like, all right, it's a good reason to get up Sunday morning. The one day a week I could sleep in.
Yeah. You know, if you got the F1 app, Ted, I think it's like $9.99 for the whole year or something. You could just stream it right when you wake up. Like, they have it on demand immediately after the race ends. So I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I could just DVR them too, but I don't know. I'm a psycho.
Yeah. Then I have to stay off Twitter the whole morning. What are you, crazy?
Yeah, I know.
You know how it works, dude. There's a domino effect to these things.
I know. I mean, the first person I ever knew that really loved it was Gregor from The End. And he's like, dude, just DVR him. And I'm like, I can't. But he's an Arsenal fan, too. And I'd get on him, like, I'd see him at work on like a Tuesday. And he'd be like, don't tell me I didn't see it. I'm like, no, fuck you, Greg. That game was Sunday morning. If by Tuesday, there's no way you don't know the result.
Yeah, it's been too long, man.
Yeah, like, if you're waiting to watch something on Sundays, but, I mean, Matt, you've seen me at your house. I'm just like, yeah, I don't care if we miss the first half. Just play it live. Like, I'm just a weirdo about watching stuff on DVR.
Well, with sports, it's tough. I get it. I mean, you talk about, like, on Tuesday, one time we were watching a game. I forget who was over. It was some extended family member that we wanted to watch the Laker game, but we wanted to watch the whole thing on DVR. But I caved and I went in and watched it live with my dad and this extended family member. My brother was going to watch it later on DVR. And he came up and he's like, I'm leaving. Don't tell me the score. And the guy just heard, tell me the score. And he's like, 77-70 Lakers.
That's awesome.
You gotta be joking me right now. I just saw Luke's face just go white with shock and then red with rage in like an instant.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing.
All right. Well, I think it's about that time.
Pew, 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 pew. Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
All right. So, I somehow, like a week or two ago, I ended up at this show down here. It was a cover band, but the guy was only doing covers, only like late 90s, early 2000s, like punk rock hits. And he sounded so good. He sounded like every singer. I mean, dead on. I was like screaming out lyrics the whole time. Like, honestly, my voice was hoarse afterwards. I was there with our buddy Joe, and it was awesome. It was probably the best show I've seen in the last year and a half. Like, it was really, really good. I'm now a full-on fan of this cover band who doesn't do any of their own music. I follow them on Instagram. I'm going to another show next month. But anyway, it was super cool. Actually, hold on. Let me find them.
This town loves cover bands, Cobb.
Yeah.
They are. Oh, it's like, I'm trying to pull them up on IG right now. I know they just made a post. They're like perfect. It's like some really simple name. Not finally something good. I'm going to have to look it up. Okay, I can't pull it that fast. It's all good. I'll look it up while you guys are saying your answers to this. But the Cobb topic is, what are the most screamable song lyrics you can think of? Email at thepodcast.com. But I mean, there's just some songs are made for screaming. Like, what are the most screamable song lyrics you can think of? You can either give us the lyrics or give us the name of the song, and you know, we can probably figure it out. But yeah, that's what I would say. And I'll try to find this band.
I mean, part of the reason I kind of hate Bon Jovi is I spent a lot of time with a lot of dudes screaming,
oh, you're halfway there. Yes. No,
awesome. Exactly. Living on a Prayer. Like, that kind of jarred me. Very screamable song. I feel like rock does a better job. Like, you can always go back. I'm sure there's Hall & Oates and like Journey songs, but I'm trying to think.
Also death metal, screamable.
Yeah, but it's hard to understand the lyric. Like, I've never been in a bar and everybody's screaming death metal.
I'm not really in this scene. I was just trying to set up Matt. I have no idea.
Trying to think of a rap song everybody sings together. Oh,
California Love.
California Love's good. I'd say OPP.
You know me.
Probably some Nelly songs.
What's who's the boss?
Springsteen.
Yeah, that Springsteen song everyone screams in Boston. Sweet Caroline.
Oh yeah, Sweet Caroline. That's a big one. That's in a lot of sports area. I love how the Red Sox just like that's ours now. It's like, and Sweet Caroline, by the way, is not the boss. That's Neil Diamond.
Oh, Sweet Caroline's Neil Diamond. Oh, okay. Yeah. What's Springsteen's favorite famous song? I feel like he had one like that.
Born in the USA.
Oh God, that's a good song. I mean, like we always say, wealth of misinformation on this cast.
Man, that's tough. I'm just like, I feel like there's a lot of yellable songs.
First result for Bruce Springsteen, is Bruce Springsteen a billionaire? Mm-hmm. There's your oligarch, Ted.
Look, Springsteen's from the Jersey Shore, all right?
That actually, I didn't know that, but that makes a lot of sense. That feels right, given, yeah.
He literally is, man.
Real quick, Matt, that band is Type A Rocks, 90s and 2000s party band.
Type A Rocks.
Yeah, on Instagram. I think they're just called Type A, actually. Okay. Yeah, they're called Type A. And on Instagram, they're Type A Rocks. And they're rad. They have 624 followers. You want to see some good punk music? They're your guys. I mean, every song you know from the 90s, they will play.
Why do you keep saying punk music? Nothing about that sounds punk.
About Type A or what they covered?
What they're covering.
What did I say they covered?
Well, you said they're a punk cover band. And then when you described them, they described themselves as a late 90s, early 2000 pop cover band.
Party cover.
So like Sum 41.
Yeah, playing all your favorite party anthems. So they played Sum 41. They played Eve 6, Harvey Danger.
Okay.
Oh God, I don't. Third Eye Blind. Those type of songs.
Yeah, I think if you say punk to me, I'm thinking like
Green Day.
Yeah, I don't know. Punk to me is a different scene. Like, I don't know enough about punk. I don't.
I just think like Hat on Backwards, late stage MTV, like
Famous Stars and Straps brand.
Angsty, yeah. Like probably wearing skate shoes. I don't know.
I mean, look, I like Avril Lavigne. I'm not going to give her punk.
Flat Bill.
No, but like, yeah, maybe like Good Charlotte, I feel like, is on the bill. I don't know.
They're from Maryland. They drink Old Bay vodka.
They're Old Bay guys.
Oh, by the way, all right, one more, and then Matt, go ahead. I don't care who you are. You don't have to like country. I feel like almost everybody can scream Friends in Low Places.
Yeah, that's screamable. Definitely.
Man, you threw me with the word scream. Bob. You guys are like doing a bunch of like sing along songs.
He was at a punk show and he's watching Eve 6.
Yeah. Third Eye Blind.
Right.
Punk as fuck.
That's fair, but I still haven't heard Ted name one punk band. He goes, you know, it's like those more, they're more punkish.
All right. How about Fugazi?
Literally never heard of them.
Exactly.
Because they're too punk for you.
Right.
Too punk, man.
That's
too,
how punk, we want.
Too punk for suburban America.
Man, so it's funny the way you brought it up, Cobb, because I have this idea. There's an open mic, and this town loves cover bands. I got to get Type A down to the 420 bank because they sound legit. That's where legit people go. This open mic would not be a legit thing. But a lot of these cover bands use backing tracks. So I thought it would be really fun to do a Linkin Park tribute performance with a backing track with Tyler, where she did the Chester parts and I did the mic parts. And, you know, we could do the whole back and forth thing. But Linkin Park has some highly, I would call it forfeit the game for anybody wondering, and was hoping we could do Forgotten, where they do that back and forth. If anybody wants to just like visualize what it would be like, but I would say song wise, you know, for me, I like I've been listening to a lot of Linkin Park since I moved down here because this town's just like retro, and that's retro to me. And like those first two albums have a lot of bangers. I would put Points of Authority up against anything to scream to, but you got to take a time machine back to like 2002. And but they were playing stadiums back then, and like people were singing, and like that was just always my cut. But yeah, Linkin Park was like prime screaming right around that era. Not so much punk, but new metal, and a lot of fun, a lot of very fun screaming to be had there. Of course, I know more hardcore stuff, but like I got a lot of love for Linkin Park still.
Yeah, dude, real quick,
Linkin Park kicked ass.
Yeah.
Dude, Ted's music knowledge is legit. I looked up 10 punk bands, literally the number one and number two results for like top 10 punk bands of all time. Both have Fugazi or Fugazi.
Nice.
They're also from DC, so that helped. I just, like, to me, like, I never got into punk music, but that's a very specific world. That's really punk hits. I'm like, ah, like, I think there's a term. Is it like emo punk, that like late 90s, yeah, like eyeliner, like the bills kind of curved up?
Pop punk.
That's what I'm talking about.
Pop punk.
Yeah.
I also think accurate. It just depends on who you're sitting with. Because I'm just sitting here in my head, I'm like, hip hop, hooray, right? I can think of go-go songs, everybody, but it just, I don't know. It depends on the crowd. But I'll stick with Friends in Low Places. People love that song. All right. Well,
I thought that was going to say something.
All right. Well, nobody say anything. You know what? No, screw it, Matt. We're done. All right. I don't want to hear it. Cobb hates Russell Wilson. Matt's better than us because he's got high ceilings. From CTP for Cobb, I'm Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.